achieved nothing. They killed the freedom in their mind when they killed Haj Qasim Sulaiman. They killed justice in their mind and in their people when they killed Haj Qasim Sulaiman. On the contrary, Haj Qasim Sulaimani now is living in every person or a thinker who think that Haj Qasim Sulaimani represents such slogans, freedom, justice, and liberty.
U.S. Army generals and strategists, as well as those who grieved him, agree that the commander of the Quds force brought the people of West Asia together and made the cause of fighting U.S. oppression a united struggle. Other virtual events to commemorate the memory of the Iranian commander were held by a group of activists in the form of Lebanese traditional storytelling. Through this art form, the writers tried to narrate to the people of Lebanon the story of Commander Qasim Sulaimani and his significant role in thwarting U.S. plots.
The biggest shock was when the U.S. Army General Petraeus read a message which read, "I am Qasim Soleimani, the commander of Al Quds forces. I am the one who conducts the Iranian policies in Iraq, Afghanistan, Gaza, and the entire region. And the Iranian ambassador in Iran is a member of the Quds force."
Many in the region who knew General Qasim Soleimani or learned about him after his martyrdom say they have no doubt that his martyrdom and the deeds done during his lifetime will lead to a complete liberation of the region. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
The rollout of COVID-19 vaccines across Europe began this weekend. Healthcare workers and the elderly are getting the jab first. EU leaders have negotiated contracts for more than 2 billion vaccine doses from various suppliers. The first 200 million are the Pfizer and BioNTech vaccine.
It was important for me to get vaccinated in order to protect myself, to protect my family, and to be a part of the solution to stop the pandemic.
I felt honored to get the vaccine, and lucky, because I can finally feel more protected. What gives me relief is the prospect that after such a difficult and challenging period, we will finally get to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
The EU had planned the rollout to begin in unison across the bloc Sunday, but Hungary, Germany and Slovakia couldn't wait and began vaccinating on Saturday. The Netherlands says it won't start vaccinating until January 8th. The start of the EU's vaccine rollout comes after a more infectious COVID-19 variant was detected in the UK, which led to dozens of countries closing their borders to UK citizens.
Only if countries are looking and testing effectively will you be able to pick up variants and adjust strategies to cope. We must ensure that countries are not punished for transparently sharing new scientific findings.
The new variant has been detected in several EU countries as well. But vaccine developers say they expect their shots to work against COVID-19 mutations. More than 600,000 vulnerable people have already been vaccinated in the UK, which started administering the Pfizer jab 2.5 weeks ago. But ministers warn the country must double its vaccination target to 2 million a week in order to avoid a third wave.
I think it's an incredibly serious, incredibly dangerous moment. I think all of us always felt that January was going to become very hard and that we were heading into a very hard winter and hospital leave was being cancelled and ITUs were being got ready. And yet, nevertheless, I feel like we weren't ready for something quite as severe as this feels with the sheer level of caseload and the added effect of the variant virus building up our R number and making things so much harder than we expected.
The UK hopes to expand its vaccination programme with the rollout of the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine, which is expected on January 4th. There are now more COVID-19 patients in hospitals in England than there were during the peak of the first wave, and more than 71,000 Britons have died of the virus. Bianca Rahimi, London.
the limelight.
Donald Trump's fellow Republicans in the U.S. Senate on Friday, 1st of January 2021, took the atypical rebellious step of overriding his veto for the first time in his presidency. The Senate pushed through a bill on defense spending against Donald Trump's strong objections, with just 20 days left before Donald Trump leaves office. The article you're about to hear has been written by The Guardian columnist Edward Helmore. The piece is titled, Senate Overrides Donald Trump's Veto of Defense Spending Bill. Stay with us for more of Edward Helmore's article. Donald Trump's fellow Republicans in the U.S. Senate on Friday, 1st of January 2021, took the atypical rebellious step of overriding his veto for the first time in his presidency. The Senate pushed through a bill on defense spending against Donald Trump's strong objections just 20 days before Trump leaves office. Meeting in a rare New Year's Day session, the Senate secured the two-thirds majority needed to override the veto with bipartisan support 2 days before a new Congress will be sworn in on Sunday. Eight previous vetoes of legislation have been upheld. Under the U.S. Constitution, the President has the power to veto a bill passed by Congress, but lawmakers can uphold the bill if two-thirds of both the House of Representatives and the Senate vote to override it. The Republican-led Senate, following the democratically controlled House of Representatives on Monday, passed the measure without Donald Trump's support, voting 81 to 13 on Friday afternoon. Overriding Donald Trump's veto marks a striking departure for GOP senators, who have largely stood by the president during his turbulent White House term. But Donald Trump's objections to the bill angered lawmakers, who had labored for months to put together a bipartisan bill and pride themselves on passing the military bill each year for 60 years, and voted to ignore his opposition to it. $740 billion National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA, determines everything from military programs and construction projects to how to address geopolitical threats. Donald Trump refused to sign it into law because of his failure to repeal Section 230, a federal law that provides a legal liability shield for internet companies, and because it includes a provision stripping the names of Confederate generals from military bases. We've passed this legislation for 59 years in a row, and one way or another we're going to complete the 60th annual National Defense Authorization Act and pass it into law before this Congress concludes on Sunday, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said. As votes were being counted, indicating Donald Trump had lost the battle, the president tweeted, touting a protest planned in Washington on Wednesday when the new Congress officially tallies the Electoral College votes certifying Democrat Joe Biden's presidential victory in November's election. Meanwhile, President Trump returned to Washington on Thursday, abruptly cutting short a holiday retreat to his private South Florida resort as the president's allies on Capitol Hill prepared to mount a last-ditch challenge to Joe Biden's election victory on 6th of January. The president had reportedly been in a stormy mood since his arrival at Mar-a-Lago, where he decamped days before Christmas and was originally expected to remain through to New Year's Eve celebrations. It was not clear what triggered President Trump's change of plans. He declined to answer questions upon boarding for his flight back to White House on Thursday morning, 31st of December. But hours before the White House announced that Donald Trump would spend New Year's Eve in Washington, the Republican Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri announced that he would object to the Electoral College result when Congress meets on 6th of January to affirm Joe Biden as the winner of November's presidential election. Donald Trump had been goading his most loyal backers in Congress to stage a final intervention on the floor of the House to try to overturn the results of the election. The effort to keep Donald Trump in power is all but destined to fail, but it will test Republicans' loyalty to the president, who maintains a vice-like grip on their party, even after Americans voted to remove him from office after a single term. Many Senate Republicans had hoped to avoid such a showdown over the certification process, typically a formality. The move by Josh Hawley, a conservative freshman believed to have presidential ambitions, will force his colleagues to publicly affirm or oppose the election results. Donald Trump has refused to concede spending his last holiday season as president fuming over his loss. On Twitter, the president continued to amplify conspiracy theories about voter fraud and lashed out at Republican officials who have refused his demands to overturn his loss in their states. On Wednesday, he called on the Republican governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, to resign, even though multiple recounts affirmed Joe Biden's narrow historic victory in Georgia. It is worth noting that the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell effectively denied Donald Trump's demand that Congress increase the size of coronavirus relief checks to Americans from $600 to $2,000.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Martyr Soleimani is a champion of the Iranian nation and of the Islamic Ummah. This is the part of a speech delivered on December 16, 2020, by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the officials of Shahid Soleimani commemoration anniversary and with the family members of that great martyr.
Shahid Soleimani turned into the champion of the Iranian nation and the Islamic Ummah. In fact, he taught the people how to use the resistance software and the fighting paradigm, and he promoted them among nations. Well, these are very important and very sensitive roles. This is why he is an outstanding personality and a champion icon in the world of Islam. Both during his lifetime and with his martyrdom, he defeated arrogance. These are not mere claims. These are facts that have been proven. He defeated arrogance in his lifestyle. The reason being that the American President Donald Trump once said, we spent $7 trillion in Iraq, but we gained nothing. He even had to travel in the dark of night to pay a visit to an American base in Iraq. The whole world believes that the U.S. did not achieve its goals in Iraq and Syria, in particular in Iraq. Why? Who was the agent behind their failure?
Your light and love, all I see, nothing or I
It was Soleimani who was the champion. Therefore, he defeated them in his lifetime. Shahid Soleimani defeated them after his martyrdom as well. The burial ceremony that was organized in Iran for him was really astonishing and unforgettable. The same is true for the burial ceremony in Iraq with the presence of millions of Iraqis. They bid farewell to his body in Najaf and Baghdad with the participation of millions of people. He as well as Shaheed Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis were bid farewell. That ceremony and the following commemoration events astonished the soft war generals in the camp of arrogance. The outstanding and most influential generals in the soft war of arrogance were astonished to see that incident, and they could not understand, in a way, the great movement that defeated them. Of course, what happened following his martyrdom was the first hard slap delivered to the US.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran by a shortwave 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran by a shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa by a shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure, from wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans. And I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
The debate.
The first anniversary of the assassination of Iran's top anti-terror commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, is upon us, with countries in the region paying tribute to the martyred Iranian general. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani says Iran will avenge the assassination of General Soleimani and deputy commander of Iraq's popular mobilization unit, Abu Mahdi al-Mohandes. A few days after the assassination, Iran unleashed a barrage of missiles at the U.S.'s Ain al-Assad air base in Iraq, causing massive damage to the base. Tehran, however, says the ultimate revenge would be to expel all American forces from the region. Both General Soleimani and al-Mohandes were popular leaders in fighting the ominous rise of Daesh, which once came as close as 30 kilometers to Baghdad while the U.S. withdrew troops and was looking on.
Iran's anti-terrorism icon was assassinated by the United States military in the Iraqi capital Baghdad on January the 3rd. Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani was the highest-ranking commander of the Quds Force of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps. Soleimani played a key role in strengthening resistance movements across the region. The commander took part in different battlefields to lead resistance fighters. A quiet, charismatic man, a strategic genius, and a tactical operator who spent most of his life in combat. Soleimani first set foot on a battlefield in the 1980s when the newly founded Islamic Republic of Iran came under attack by former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein. Soleimani was at the time a young man in his 20s fighting tirelessly to defend Iranian soil against the aggressor. After 8 years of war, Soleimani emerged battle-tested and battle-hardened. He became a national hero and a beloved commander in the IRGC. Soleimani and the forces under his command soon became one of the instrumental players in combating terrorism in Iran's southeastern areas and in Afghanistan. But the most important chapter of his military career started when he became the chief commander of the IRGC's Quds Force in 1998. General Soleimani strongly supported the Palestinian cause. He spared no effort to strengthen the Hezbollah resistance movement in Lebanon. During the 33-day war between Israel and Lebanese resistance fighters in 2006, General Soleimani went to Lebanon to oversee the battle against the Israeli regime. The fight against the Daesh terrorist group probably marked the climax of his anti-terror endeavors. During the tough campaign against Daesh, he was often seen in battlefields in Iraq and Syria. General Soleimani was the brain behind key operations that paralyzed the monster terror group and rolled back its advances. Soleimani has long been a household name in Iran and many regional countries. His presence in the battle against terrorism gave people a sense of security. It is no doubt tough for them to deal with his loss. People in Iraq and Iran are still mourning the loss of their anti-terror icon. Soleimani's funeral processions have become a symbol of unity. Following the U.S. assassination, regional resistance groups pledged to remain steadfast on his path. The general is no longer among us, but his martyrdom seems to have given fresh blood to the resistance front.
Joining us on debate, we have journalist and political analyst and editor at newsclick.in, Prabir Purkayasta, joining us from New Delhi. Also, we have journalist and political analyst Elijah Magnier joining us from Brussels. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's start off with Prabir in New Delhi. Prabir, why would the U.S. want to assassinate a figure that was spearheading the fight against terror in the region, a man that was considered to be the main enemy of the Daesh Takfiri terrorists?
Well, you know, it's very difficult to understand President Trump's mind and why he would do X or not Y. The point is, the United States looks upon Iran as their main ideological opponent in the West Asian battlefields as well as the political arena. And they felt that Soleimani, General Soleimani, was one of the resistance figures who was tilting the balance against them. Having lost politically Iraq, their only solution was essentially to militarily see
whether they could cause Iran to withdraw, achieve militarily what they were losing politically. And I think that was the biggest miscalculation they could have done, because what they did was just strengthened opposition to them much more in the region and weakened them politically.
Elijah Magny in Brussels, what was the gain for the U.S. and its allies from the assassination? And in your opinion, were these goals achieved? The leader of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad says the U.S. assassinated General Soleimani to expand Zionism in the region.
Because the Americans are not very clever in understanding the region. First of all, they thought General Soleimani is irreplaceable. They think they can kill a person and then the whole cause will fall. That is their ignorance about the region and about how the axis of the resistance works. It doesn't work by a person. It's a cause that continues, and people like General Soleimani, like Abu Mahdi Mohandes, and like all those who led the revolution against imperialism, these people are destined to die in the battlefield, and other people to carry their cause and continue. The Americans thought that they are not weakening Iran with the maximum pressure, so they removed their beloved general who fought ISIS and managed to register victory in Syria and spoiled the American plan to divide Iraq in three regions, Kurdistan, Shiistan, and Sunnistan. Soleimani was the instrument to stop this American plan that was first promoted by Joe Biden in 2015, and then it was supported by ISIS and all the countries that supported ISIS by calling it a Sunni revolution, and it was far from being a Sunni revolution. So the plan was to divide Syria, to divide Iraq, and then to move to Lebanon and create a havoc in the Middle East where the Americans can dominate and rule. So they fought by removing the leader of the axis of the resistance, the head of the Quds Brigade, General Soleimani. They can break this axis of the resistance. They don't know that each country has its own axis and they all related, but they are related by an ideology, not by people and not by leaders. And cause it will always survive, and other leaders will continue. General Ismail Kahani took over and he will continue the path of Soleimani, who was his vice, and he will continue on the same line, supporting the Palestinian cause, supporting the Lebanese, supporting the Syrian, supporting the Iraqis, the Yemeni in Afghanistan against the U.S. hegemony and dominance in the region.
Prabhu, how essential was General Soleimani's efforts in maintaining security in West Asia and most notably reestablishing security in Iraq following the rise of Daesh?
I think General Soleimani played a very critical role in two ways. One was, of course, the start of the American attempt with, of course, Israel to smash the Hezbollah. And he played a very important role over there. Secondly, of course, to defend Iraq from the Daesh, which, as your report itself said, was almost on the border of or the outskirts of Baghdad. He was playing a role which was much more strategic. It was not just in Iran, not just in Iraq, or not just in Lebanon, but he was playing a much larger role, and it was not a military role alone. It was also understanding the geostrategy of the region, trying to build alliances which would support the sovereignty of different countries. And essentially, the sovereignty of the countries were at stake, because if you see what was happening, or even today as we get into Lebanon, what was happening in Syria, what happened earlier in Iraq. Iraq, of course, was the American invasion of 2003 that started the whole destabilization of the region again. So all of this was
something which was seen to be as if it's an Iranian plot. It's something which General Soleimani is doing almost single-handedly, and it's something which is going against the nature of the world, which is it should always accept American domination. And of course, Israel was a regional player in support of American domination of the region. So Soleimani's charisma, his ability to unite different forces, bring different players on the table, put together something which was an alternative, national alternatives in these places, not as Americans say, Iranian extension in these places, but real national alternatives, is something which the Americans have not understood and have not tried to deal with as equals, accepting the sovereignty of countries. But they believe that the military might, and at the end of it, their belief that because they have got nuclear weapons, they have overwhelming military power in a war, that they can therefore control any region. And if it doesn't work, then escalate as much as you can, and at some point the enemy will surrender. That's basically, that was their tactics. And having repeatedly tried this tactics, not succeeding, they thought the last attempt was, if we assassinate General Soleimani, perhaps the opposition to us will collapse. And as I said earlier, and as our colleague has also just now said, that this was a miscalculation of a Himalayan kind. This was, any political science undergraduate should know, this was, it would unite the forces against the United States and not really help them in Iraq. After all, you not only assassinated a serving officer of Iran, but also a serving officer of Iraq on Iranian soil without the sanction of the Iraqi government. This is an assassination carried out in a country which you did not have sovereignty over, and obviously without the sanction of that government. So this is an act of international terror. That's what even United Nations report said.
Sure.
That this terror attack.
Elijah, I'd like to get your thoughts on the issue as well. With regards to Iran, how much of an effect did this illegal assassination have on Iran's policies in the region? Our guest in New Delhi believes that it hasn't changed anything.
I think it will drastically affect the Iranian policy, because during when General Soleimani was alive, the objective was not to expel the Americans from West Asia. Now the objective has changed. The death of General Soleimani is achieving much more than when Soleimani was alive. The Iraqi parliament issued a law asking all the foreign forces to leave the country. The withdrawal of the U.S. forces from Iraq, it is the price of the assassination, the unlawful, cowardly assassination of General Soleimani and his companions, including the commander Abu Mahdi Mohandes, the Iraqi commander Abu Mahdi Mohandes. That is a great change in the Middle East. We are talking about the withdrawal of the U.S. forces. We are talking about a new challenge that Joe Biden is going to face, the Iraqi resistance, because General Soleimani was killed on Iraqi soil. It is the Iraqi resistance that needs to make sure that their guest is there is a revenge against those who assassinated the guest, and the Iraqi resistance will deal with the U.S. forces that are considered today occupation forces because they do not abide by the binding decision of the Iraqi parliament to leave the country. That's a major change. What is going to happen for the axis of the resistance, we have never seen the Palestinian carrying out a maneuver of all 12 different organizations and group in one military maneuver, all united, that took place after the assassination of Soleimani. We saw how in Syria, the Syrian advanced and recovered the M5 and get closer to Idlib. that happened after the assassination of Soleimani. The path will continue. What Soleimani managed to build since 1998 until January 2020 was the base, a very robust and solid base for the actors of the resistance to unite even further, to be more equipped, to have advanced weapons, and to work toward one goal, is to expel the U.S. forces from the Middle East and West Asia. And that is a great goal that was able to be pronounced and announced only after the assassination of Soleimani. That's a big change.
I'm going to stay with you, Elijah, for another question. The response to the assassination of General Soleimani then and now has been resounding. Why do you think the general was so revered and adored by people in the region?
Well, first of all, let's talk about Iran. In Iran, it woken up the national feeling. The Iranians did not accept that their general is cowardly assassinated. They're not talking about the Islamic Revolution. They're not talking about the Wilayat al-Faqih. They're talking about their general who was fighting ISIS to defend Iran and to defend Iraq and to defend Syria and to end ISIS permanently, a threat that was threatening the whole of the region and beyond the region, including Africa, Asia, Russia, China. So that is why the Iranian people went by million in the street to shout against the Americans and say, you cannot kill our general and get away with it. That's one. Two, the assassination of Soleimani made a solidarity among the population in Iraq and Syria. And today, Soleimani has become an icon as a man who devoted his life to fight ISIS, to fight the terrorist group that strike not only in the Middle East, but also in the heart of Europe. And that is the icon itself. It's the new Che Guevara of the Middle East. Today, there is a man people will turn to it, and this symbol will not die in the heart of the population. The Americans thought they can defeat Iran by the maximum pressure and by killing its general. On the contrary, all that turned against the Americans, and the Americans today are terrified of an attack from Iran to venge their general on the 3rd of January. Now, this is not the revenge that Iran is seeking, a tit for tat immediately. Iran is seeking for a bigger goal, and the goal is to expel the Americans from the region. And Iran is responding by supporting its allies. Iran is responding by strengthening its allies,
yes,
in Palestine, in Lebanon, in Syria, in Iraq, in Yemen, in Afghanistan. That is the response.
Prabir, two questions for you. First of all, what message, in continuation of what we were just discussing, what message did the massive funeral processions send? People showed up in their millions in Iran, Iraq, and Lebanon to pay their respects. And also on the issue of the assassination itself, many have called it the worst state-sanctioned act of terrorism in modern history. How should that be pursued in international courts?
Well, to take the last question first, that let's face it, international courts work only against small countries. It doesn't work when the United States is the party who was created or who was behind an act of international terror. So I don't think we should look at international institutions on this count. As I said, the United Nations report itself said it's an act of terror, but that's where it stops. Coming back to what the region, what impact it has on the region, I think there are two issues over here. One is that to understand that the American imperial forces, imperialism, is weakening. It's not weakening just in the region, it's weakening globally. And unfortunately, its military power is not weakening comparatively, in the sense that it still has overwhelming military power vis-a-vis other countries, even now. But the point is that this is where I think Hezbollah, Iran, others have developed a strategy of not confronting militarily directly, but also the ability to inflict enough damage to see that an outright war is not easy by the Americans as well. So this unequal battle, which otherwise they can't win, is also balanced by the fact that they have now various drone missiles. They have the ability to inflict physical damage on the warships of the United States, which are really sitting ducks. The kind of missiles Iran has delivered to
Indeed,
see
sir.
That if Iran is taken out, there is enough damage that they can create. And this is exactly what Hezbollah has also done vis-a-vis Israel.
All right, apologies for jumping in there. We're fresh out of time. Allow me to thank my guests, journalists, political analysts, and editor at NewsClick.in, Prabir Purkayasta, joining us from New Delhi. Also, thanks to journalist and political analyst Elijah Magnier, joining us from Brussels. Also, a special thanks to you for staying with us on this debate.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Great hero, general of hearts. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. Former commander of IRGC Quds Force, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, Deputy Commander of the Iraqi Popular Mobilization Organization, Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, and their eight companions attained martyrdom on January 3, 2020, in a terrorist attack near Baghdad's airport with the direct order of the outgoing criminal U.S. President Donald Trump. This year, the anniversary of the event falls on January 2nd due to the leap year of 2020. 1 year has passed since that tragic day, but the memory of Martyr Soleimani's valor and his luminous face will never be forgotten. The families of martyrs who lost their life for defending the holy shrines of Ahlul Bayt will never forget his lovely face and kind hands that would cherish the children of martyrs like a loving father. He was the manifestation of Ayah 29 of Surah Fath of the Noble Quran, which says that the Prophet of Islam and his companions are hard against the faithless and merciful among themselves. The event of 13th of the Iranian month of Dey, that is January 3rd, 2020, revealed a personality who had ruled over hearts. The assassination of Qasem Soleimani was a great strategic mistake for the Americans. This dastardly act of terror caused the people of the world to know the personality of the icon of fight against terrorism. It breathed new spirit in the body of the front of resistance and freedom-seeking nations in the region and beyond. This is the impact of martyr and martyrdom, which the global arrogance is unable to understand. Self-sacrifice is justifiable only in a religion that thinks beyond the transient life of this world. Only those who believe in salvation and eternal bliss in the hereafter can march in this path. According to the Islamic culture, a martyr is a person who moves in the way of truth and virtue. He burns to give light and comfort to others. Martyrdom is sacred because it is the conscious sacrifice of one's whole being for a sacred goal. Martyrs are the source of a spiritual life of a society because they march toward ideals and hope, and they only seek the victory of truth. Martyr Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani wrote for one of his daughters, "Dear Fatima, I am writing a few pages for you because I know that you love me sacredly. I don't know why I am writing these words, but I feel that I need someone to unfold my heart with in this loneliness of my life. My bloody death, my dearest, my beautiful, where are you? I am eager to meet you. When the blast of your kiss annihilates my entire being, evaporates it and burns it, how much I love this moment. How beautiful this scene is. How much I love this moment. Losing your life in the way of love is very beautiful. My God, I have striven for this moment for 30 years. I have struggled with all rivals of love for this moment. I have sustained injuries. I have sent mediators. How beautiful this scene is. How much I love this moment." What Martyr Soleimani did caused even his enemies to laud him for his bravery, insight, management, acumen, military prowess, and recognition of enemy. In the battlefront, he would design and execute the best attacks. He was a commander who would not get tired. With his cleverness, he used to command one of the most powerful divisions during the eight-year imposed war. It was the division Sarallah 41 of Kerman. His headquarters was the forefront and not concrete buildings of in the back of the battlefront. He used to go first and say to his forces, "Come," rather seating and ordering them go. Thus, he would first put his life at risk and then call on his forces to do the same. Another characteristic of the General of Hearts was that he was a moderate person and would not go to extremes. As for political issues, he used to give advice to various factions. He was not after power at all, although he had the second position in the hearts of people after the supreme leader. Yes, he was the second beloved man after the leader, not just in Iran, but among all Islamic nations who seek freedom and fight against the global arrogance and Zionism. Martyr Soleimani was very popular and led a simple life. His view on the young generation was that a loving father. The General of Hearts, Martyr Qasem Soleimani, was sincere in action and intention. He did everything for God's sake and not for material gains. Sincerity was the element of his popularity and people's deep love toward him. Ayatollah Khamenei told his family, "Look what people are doing for Haj Qasem. This consoles you. Do know that people appreciated your father, and this stems from sincerity. This is sincerity. If there is no sincerity, the hearts of people will not be drawn like this. Hearts are in God's hand. That hearts are drawn in this way, it shows that there was a great sincerity in this man. The leader even recited in the prayer for Martyr Soleimani's corpse, "O God, you took their spirits in the way of your satisfaction while they were plunged in their blood and melted before each other. They were the people who had purified themselves for your noble being." Martyr Soleimani caused a wave in the Islamic Ummah, indicating that every drop of the martyr's blood turns into thousands of drops and revives the society after it has become dormant and indolent.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.